Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. One of the great things about music is that it's so personal. I mean, yeah, it's universal, but it's also a one-on-one experience. You and I may listen to the same song performed by the same musician at the same time in the same place and have very different experiences of it. We each find our own way to a song. That's why 5 minutes on YouTube can turn up millions of people offering their own take on familiar hits. But there was one YouTube clip in particular, quite a few years ago, that really caught my attention.
Oops, I did it again.
Oops, I did it again was a big hit everywhere. But I guess Miss Pierce lost the chance to find the black humor in the song.
I think I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. Oh, baby, it might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. Cause to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me. Oh, baby, baby, oops, I did it again.
The German cabaret singer Max Raba did a version of the Britney Spears hit, Oops, I Did It Again, and it was so darkly comic that it was easy to overlook the fact that the arrangement and his performance were awesome. Max Raba will perform some much older hits from his new album Golden Age in our studio in just a little while. But look, if you want to talk about a song that many people have found their way to, a song that generations have made their own, this song would have to be part of the conversation.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
With St. Patrick's Day coming up on Monday, Irish cultural celebrations are gearing up all over New York, and you can bet that you'll hear this song, Danny Boy, at one or two of them. This is a version by Elvis Presley, who, as we learn in a new documentary film about Danny Boy, found comfort in the song while serving in Germany in World War II. The film is full of such anecdotes. It's called Danny Boy, The Ballad That Bewitched the World. The director, James Maycock, and producer Patricia Moore are here. So is author Malachy McCourt, who's in the film and has written a book about the tune. To all of you, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks very much.
Good job.
Good to be here.
Malachy was here, Patricia, some years ago when the book about Danny Boy came out, so I know he's been obsessed about this song. What made you think that a film needed to be made about it?
I think just with the anniversary coming up, it was the centenary of the birth of the song, and it's just one of those songs that everybody, Irish descent, any Irish connections around the world, it's just a song that we've all grown up with.
Yeah.
And there was just a great story to be told.
James, is Patricia going to get in trouble already for saying that the song is 100 years old? Because, I mean, the tune itself, there'll be people going, London Derriere, that's
absolutely,
200
yeah.
years, 300 no, this... years, what is she talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it was first published in 1913, I think, and then, but the actual lyrics were originally shaped in 1910.
Mm-hmm. And the lyrics to this most Irish of songs shaped by?
Fred Weatherly.
From?
From Bath. England, yeah.
From England. Yeah. the film, you know, gives us just a little idea of the unusual places where this song pops up. You know, JFK, Elvis Presley, boxing matches, Johnny Cash,
country music,
Princess
yeah.
Diana. Why has it gone beyond its allegedly Irish roots to all these different places?
Because I think a song like that, it will appeal universally. And I think that, and also it has a particular quality where people can project things onto the song. So it's kind of vague enough, but also its universal themes of loss, departure, we all relate to. So,
all right, and I want to come back to that, but let's talk first about the tune itself. Malachy, you've written about the song and where it comes from, and even the underlying tune is kind of a source of controversy. The Londonderry air, right?
Oh, yeah, and
just because of the name,
Southern Irish will say Derriere.
Derriere,
but
right.
The Victorian English would not say Derriere because it's the French for, you know, you're behind.
Right.
So they got very upset about that. But there's also a thought that perhaps it is a Scottish air. And Rory O'Doul Khan went to Scotland when he was a young man. Yeah. So he wandered around Scotland, and he might have picked the tune. But of course, it has a Scottish connotation. Then a friend of mine, Da Chen, who's Chinese, says it's Chinese because it has that sort of thing as well. So it's it is a very amorphous, a strange, nostalgic, it evokes feelings of people that no other song. I used to hate the bloody thing. I just thought, God almighty, not Danny Boy, for God's sake, think of something Irish.
But before it was Danny Boy, it was either the Londonderry air
or the Derry air, depending on whether you were from north or south, from County Derry.
Right.
And
well, let's hear the underlying tune. In the film, Joe Jackson points out the minor-major kind of collision here. So listen to this fiddle version of the original air. Well, we know it as Danny Boy nowadays, but for centuries it was the Derry or the Londonderry air, named after the town of Londonderry in the north of Ireland. A song that goes back a couple of hundred years, but as Danny Boy, it is now a century old. It is the topic of the film called Danny Boy, The Ballad That Bewitched the World, directed by James Maycock and produced by Patricia Moore, who are both here. Malachy McCourt, the author of a whole book about Danny Boy, is in the film. Patricia, was it just like shaking a tree and people were falling over themselves to be in this film to talk about this song?
It was, in a way, John. I mean, because, you know, so many artists have recorded the song over the years and everybody knows it and everyone has an opinion on it. So it was pretty easy to get people to talk about the song for us.
And when they found out an Englishman was directing the movie, they were still okay with that?
Well, we kind of kept that a secret from...
Well, seeing as an Englishman wrote it, Frederick Edward Weatherly, and also he did not write that song to the air of Londonderry. Yeah, he wrote it to another tune, and how he got to write this one was that his sister-in-law was here in America, and Percy Grainger, the Australian composer conductor, was over doing a tour in America. And she happened to hear him at the concert. So she got a hold of the sheet music, sent it off to good old Fred and said, you should put a song, write a song to this air. And he took out the thing from the drawer where he had discarded it and tweaked it. And then out came Danny Boy, and which everybody thinks, of course, was Irish, right, written by an Irishman and so on and so forth. Then, of course, we have to disillusion them.
So written by a Frederick Weatherly, an English barrister, does the sister-in-law ever get an ounce of royalties or credit for
there
this?
There lies the kind of tragic story. Right?
No, I mean, she was shafted, you know. She was. I mean, Fred Weatherly was this incredibly important man, a national figure, and she was just... She actually had lyrics, kind of ready, her own lyrics, ready for the thing, which we never know what those were.
Well, now, and you mentioned before, James, the ideas of departure and loss and longing that you know, kind of suffuse this song. It's almost in the original tune. It's definitely part and parcel of the lyrics. You know, you could see how the Irish diaspora would sort of cling to that. How does this song begin to get outside the Irish community? How do people like Harry Belafonte cotton on to this?
Because it resonated with anyone who's kind of enforced exile, mm-hmm. and it made complete sense.
It's the ultimate goodbye song, and I think, anyway, when you get right down to it, and the clouds of war were looming over Europe when it was published in 1913. When 9/11 happened here, so many of the firefighters and cops who were killed were of Irish descent, and many of the families wanted Danny Boy. Holy Mother Church, in its wisdom, had just said, no secular music at funerals. It has to be sacred from here on in. So, and the families would say, we want Danny Boy, you can't have it. And they said, well, up your bucket, we're going to do it anyway.
Well, actually, let's hear, this is a moment from the film in which the firefighter Tim Geraghty, who worked at Ground Zero, is talking about exactly this.
343 New York firefighters, many of them of Irish descent, lost their lives on 9/11.
We would break for lunch in this cantina. And one day, this captain I was working with tapped me on the shoulder and he said, hey, do you see that guy who's serving you food? I go, yeah. I go, yeah. He goes, that's Ronan Tynan, the Irish tenor. And I looked at him, I said, yeah. I go, that's Ronan Tynan. And he asked Ronan to sing a song. So Ronan finally agreed, and he had this big chef hat on. So he just takes his chef hat off. He's got a big spoon in his hand, and he takes the spoon, and he just starts singing Danny Boy.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside.
And within an instant, his voice filled the whole room, and the place went silent. And he sang that song. And I'll tell you what, there was men in there like that were moved to tears. It was like one of those moments. It was a goosebump moment.
That is a really nice moment from the film Danny Boy, the ballad that bewitched the world. Firefighter Tim Geraghty, who worked at Ground Zero. Ronan Tynan, who would go on to great acclaim at Yankee Stadium, singing on pretty regular.
10 minutes.
and the idea of Ronan Tynan in his chef's hat and his spoon singing Danny Boy reminds me of another great version of Danny Boy, sung by the Muppets. The Swedish Chef and Animal and Beaker all doing a version of Danny Boy. It crops up everywhere. Patricia Moore is the producer of the new movie. James Maycock directed it. Malachy McCourt's in it and is author of the book, Danny Boy, The Legend of the Beloved Irish Ballad. So let me come back to this idea of other communities finding a way into this song.
James. Just about the country music. It was just like when I was doing research on it, I just noticed there was a huge chunk of country artists who were recording it. And then, of course, you start thinking, well, country music, it's about heartbreak and loss. Mm. And of course it would work. It's so obvious that it could easily be interpreted as that. And likewise with Black America, I think that was... Harry Belafonte does an extraordinary version of the film. I mean, he was very into his whole folk history anyway.
And Belafonte, you know, a guy who sort of saw the similarities between Jewish Americans and Irish Americans and black. I mean, this is the same guy who did Hava Nagila on stage at Carnegie Hall. Let's hear Harry Belafonte's version of Danny Boy.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside, the summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you, it's you. must go and I must bide.
A little bit of Danny Boy, sung by Harry Belafonte. So many people, so many different genres and styles, so many parts of the world having a go at this allegedly Irish ballad. I mean, Malachy, you're the subtitle of your book, Danny Boy, The Legend of the Beloved Irish Ballad. There are so many kind of myths and misunderstandings about this song.
I got Liam Neeson and Seamus Heaney to comment on about what their feeling was. And I talked to Bill Clinton. He's the only president I know that knows all the verses. And he can sing it not too badly at all for a guy from Arkansas.
All right, now that brings up an interesting question. I mean, it's a populist song, Patricia. People love this song all over the place. It is a difficult melody to sing, isn't it?
It is a difficult melody to sing. There's what Brian Kennedy in the film described as that kind of treacherous high note, which you know, has been murdered at many a wedding and party by people who, you know, start off thinking, oh, I can sing this, and then they get to that high note and, oh, my goodness.
Well, maybe they had a few drinks and then they decide, I can get that note.
I think so.
I can go up there, and sometimes they can and sometimes they can't. Let's hear that moment from the film Danny Boy, the ballad that bewitched the world.
I mean, as a singer, Danny Boy is... it's quite an undertaking. You don't quite realise it because most people go, oh, yeah, Danny Boy. Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. It sounds kind of, okay, not too much of a range.
But come ye back when summer's in the meadow.
And then you get to the first chorus. And I shall hear the soft you tread above me. Right, so again, getting up there, but not crazy.
Tis outbeat there. In sunshine or in shadow.
So that's the part that everyone has trouble with.
Then you shall hear a whisper that you love me. Now, I'm doing that in my kind of falsetto voice.
I just go up, I'm like, dah! I do the falsetto thing that I hear often, and you'll hear in, like, doo-wop or any of these other jazz or blues singers, they'll just do this. And that's the only way I could figure out how to do it, how to cover it. Otherwise, if I didn't do that, I couldn't go there.
So be very careful what key you started in, because you're going to end up on very dangerous ground if you don't hit those notes.
Singers Brian Kennedy and Tara O'Grady talking about singing the song itself in the film Danny Boy, the ballad that bewitched the world. I mean, it is, you know, it is... As Brian Kennedy says, it's treacherous ground at some point there.
It's the K2 of music, isn't it?
I heard that John McCormick...
the legendary Irish tenor of the early 20th century.
That he was doing a concert at Carnegie Hall and that he was singing Danny Boy and realized that he couldn't hit that note. So what he did was he threw up his hands in a gesture of singing and let the piano hit the note, and everybody thought that he did, and they went wild applauding
him. I want to ask all of you this question, but Malachy, since you wrote a whole book about the song years ago, I'll start with you. In the process of this film, did you learn something about the song you didn't know before?
I learned, I didn't know that it was a Brit that wrote it, Frederick Edward Weatherly. I had no idea who wrote it. And then I got sort of obsessed with it. And then about the discovery of how it became popular, how it got, how old it was, all of that stuff was all new to me because I didn't give a fiddler's fart about the song really for a long time. But then I got kind of right into it. And it just obsessed me.
Yeah.
And it was in getting around because it evokes... It's nostalgia and melancholy at the same time, and you get mad at yourself for allowing a song to do that to you.
James?
Well, yeah, I think it's just that it is a kind of perfect marriage between lyrics and music. So it's kind of the music is both melancholy and uplifting. The lyrics very cleverly match it perfectly. So it's upset, you know, it's moving and it's about departure, but also there's that hope. I think they work beautifully together. Like, I love that doo-wop version and also the country versions as well.
And Patricia, for you?
I loved the new information that we had about Margaret Weatherly and the fact that she had been shafted by her brother-in-law. And in a way, it was our way of kind of giving her credit 100 years later. And, you know, she'd never had that credit. And she, you know, she died in pretty tragic circumstances. And it was really lovely that her story and her involvement in the song was brought out in the year that it was.
Now, Malachy, you referred to it earlier as the perfect farewell song. I mean, one of the things that makes it, and James was sort of alluding to this a moment ago, is yes, it's a farewell song, but there's that possibility of return, you know, of it's coming back.
In, I find the United States, nobody dies here. Nobody ever mentions death. Right? They always are, they're gone now, at peace with the Lord, 6 feet under.
In a better place.
In a better place, departed and so forth. And, of course, the favorite, my favorite one, he passed. What? And who's going to clean it up? And if you, in the song itself, it's very, so many singers in America change one of the lines, which is, "And all my dreams shall warmer, sweeter be," they say. The song says, "And all my grave shall warm and sweeter be." But they, so many singers just drop that because they're afraid. Oh, my God. Yeah. What if I say that in some rowdy nightclub? It'll put everybody to drink, which they want, of course.
There will be lots of people singing very bad versions of Danny Boy on Monday on St. Paddy's Day. But to hear some great versions, check out the movie Danny Boy, The Ballad That Bewitched the World, directed by James Maycock, produced by Patricia Moore, and starring, among many others, Malachy McCourt, whose book Danny Boy, The Legend of the Beloved Irish Ballad, was the subject of a soundcheck segment some years ago. To the three of you, so good to have you with us, and thanks so much for sharing the story of this great song.
Thanks
to be with you, John.
This is Soundcheck.
"And all my grave shall warmer, sweeter be." So come to my funeral.
"And then my grave will richer, sweeter be. And you'll bend down and tell me that you love me. And I will rest in peace until you come to me."
Still to come on Soundcheck, we want you to nominate a song for Soundcheck's Ultimate Running playlist. We're creating a mix that two of our producers will listen to during the New York City Half Marathon this Sunday, and we'll share it with you too. More about that later. But first, a performance by the German cabaret singer Max Rabe. That's next on Soundcheck.
"Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me."
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The 1920s and 30s were a golden age for songwriting and for a kind of sophisticated, witty cabaret singer that we don't hear so much of anymore. Well, except for Max Rabe. The popular German singer and bandleader has spent the past two decades revisiting the songs of Weimar Germany and 1930s Hollywood. With his Palastorchester, he's recorded a new album called Golden Age that includes some familiar classics and some surprising new ones. Max is here with his pianist, Ian Weckworth, to sing a few golden oldies for us, beginning with the Irving Berlin classic Cheek to Cheek. Here's Max Rabe live on Soundcheck.
"Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to climb a mountain and reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Dance with me, I want my arm about you. The charms about you will carry me through to heaven. I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Dance with me, I want my arm about you. The charm about you will carry me through to heaven. I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're all together dancing cheek to cheek.
That is Max Raba live on Soundcheck with Ian Weckworth at our piano in a version of Irving Berlin's Cheek to Cheek. Max Raba, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Pleasure.
Hearing you and Ian just performing, you and the piano, we don't get a chance to hear this sort of thing from you very much. Do you do this often?
That is the first time we did it. Normally, the special thing is that we play these standards in the original orchestrations from the 20s. Then that is our special idea.
Mm-hmm. And that is the Palast Orchester, the big band that we normally hear you with.
It is, it's a kind of big band. I would say it's a small big band.
Yeah.
A typical dance orchestra from the 20s.
When we last met, we were in Berlin, and you told us then that you discovered this music of the 20s and 30s, through old black and white movies.
Exactly. That was the beginning. And so we were students, and then I found some original stock arrangement from that time. And so our idea was to build an orchestra exactly like in the 20s.
Now, the funny thing is that when you were getting into this music through the films, through the old orchestrations, you would have still been a teenager, right?
Yes.
Most teenagers of our age were listening to rock and disco and punk and stuff.
My brother had a big selection of records of the day by Jazz Rotal or whatever. So I'm familiar with that repertoire, but that, in a way, the black and white films were sent some from time to time in TV in that time. And we had a radio show once a week with records from the 20s and 30s. And so I taped it already, always. And mostly I cut off the voice. So when somebody starts singing, I put the bows. And again, when he stopped.
So you had no time for radio announcers. You just wanted the songs.
Yes.
We're speaking with Max Raba, and Ian Weckworth, his pianist, is also here with us. The album, the most recent album, is called The Golden Age, or just Golden Age. When was the Golden Age for you?
I would say in the beginning from the last 20, so 27 till 32, 33, that is my favorite time. Mm-hmm. Especially the German songs, because there was a very nice humor, black humor, and very sarcastic humor. But that ends immediately in 33 when the Nazis came to power. There was no place anymore for irony and humor. But we have our main program with the songs from the late 20s and early 30s.
Mm-hmm. So what is the attraction for you of a song like Oops, I Did It Again, which many years ago you did a hilarious video of, and now it reappears on this new record?
Yeah, okay. This recording is from 2001 when Oops, I Did It Again was a big hit everywhere. But I guess Miss Pierce lost the chance to find the black humor in the song.
So she missed, Britney Spears missed the humor that you found in this song.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very bad taste humor. And I realized it immediately. But it was a joke. You know, we are traveling a lot. We are 13 people always together, and we have some funny and strange ideas.
Well, let's hear a little bit from Max Raba's record, Golden Age, and his take on the Britney Spears song, Oops, I Did It Again.
Friends. Oh, baby, it might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. 'Cause to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me. Oh, baby, baby, oops, I did it again. I played with your heart, got lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby, oops. Innocent.
Max Raba and a version of Oops, I Did It Again. Check out the video online. It is hysterically funny. This version appears on Max Raba's most recent album, Golden Age, with the Palast Orchestra, his 13-piece band. Tom Jones' Sex Bomb is on Golden Age as well. Max, is there anything out there right now that you are looking at and thinking, maybe...
No, not really. You know, that was 10 years ago, and you can't tell a joke twice, I guess.
Right, okay. Well, tell me where this next song comes from, though you're not the first. I haven't heard this.
Yeah, this is one of the these typical German tangos and songs from 32. English version is, you're not the first one, but you can be the last.
That's nice,
charming, right?
Nice sentiment.
what a lady want to hear.
Do you want to sing it for us?
Yes, I will.
All right. Max Raba is my guest on Soundcheck. Ian Weckworth is at our piano. And a full edition of this appears on the album Golden Age. But let's hear this stripped-down acoustic performance here in the Soundcheck studio.
Du bist nicht die Erste, du musst schon verzeihen, aber meine Letzte, die könntest du sein. Du hast den gewissen Zauber, der ins Blut geht wie der Sekt, den geheimnisvollen Zauber, der die tollsten Wünsche weckt. Though you're not the first one that I've told it to, you can be the last one, I leave it to you. Far from all the others,
I've placed you apart. You can be the first one to have all my heart.
Short but sweet. The song is called, in English, Though You're Not the First One. Once again, Max Raba singing in our soundcheck studio. And that, not such a well-known song. This next one, though, Max, a very well-known song here in the States. This is not on the new record, is it?
No, it isn't, because we found this arrangement just a few months ago.
The song is I Only Have Eyes for You.
Oh, yep.
Let's hear it. The old Warren and Dubin classic, I Only Have Eyes for You. Once again, Max Raba singing, Ian Weckworth at our piano, live on Soundcheck.
The stars out tonight, I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, 'cause I only have eyes for you, dear. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky, 'cause I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden or on a crowded avenue. You are here, so am I. Maybe millions of people go by, but they all disappear from view. 'Cause I only have eyes for you. Cause I only have eyes for you, dear. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky. 'Cause I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden or on a crowded avenue. You are here, so am I. Maybe millions of people go by, but they all disappear from view. And I only have eyes for you.
The German singer Max Raba and the pianist Ian Weckworth live on Soundcheck with I Only Have Eyes for You. So many Americans know the Flamingos version of that, but this sounds like it's probably a lot closer to the original version from, what was it, 1936 or somewhere.
Yeah.
You mentioned before there's a very clear line in the German song tradition. 1933, everything changes in Germany.
Yeah.
What about the Comedian Harmonists, the vocal group known as the Comedian Harmonists? You cover some of their music as well.
So the Comedian Harmonists sang all the big hits in the 20s and 30s, but half of the group was Jewish, and so they had to separate.
Mm-hmm.
They had to leave. The last recording, I guess, was around 34, and then was the end of this wonderful group.
They were six male singers, mm-hmm. and they sang all, as you said, all the popular songs of the day in these really amazing arrangements.
Yeah.
And every now and then, somebody looks at their songs and says, oh, this is great stuff. So back in the 80s, there was a band here in New York called Hudson Shad who were doing a lot of Comedian Harmonist stuff. And on the record Golden Age, you do Mein Kleiner Grüner Kaktus.
Yeah.
Which just, you know, My Little Green Cactus.
Yeah. It's one of these funny songs from the time. And it's about a cactus. And the cactus falls from the balcony onto the head of Mr. Krause from the neighbor house. So In the song, he's knocking at the door and he's asking, you have a cactus on the balcony, but listen, it fell down on my head. So it's there's nothing behind that, but it's funny. And
it's a novelty song.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But this song is still very popular in Germany because we still think that the situation is funny.
And you still think America is full of little green cactuses, apparently.
Seems to be, yeah.
Max Raba has been with us on Soundcheck, along with Ian Weckworth at our piano. Max and the full Palast Orchester have this new album out called Golden Age. Let's hear this song, Mein kleiner grüner Kaktus. And Max, a great pleasure to have you back with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you.
Blumen im Garten, so 20 Arten von Rosen, Tulpen und Narzissen leisten sich heute die feinsten Leute. Das will ich alles gar nicht wissen. Mein kleiner grüner Kaktus steht draußen am Balkon. Holri, holri, hollro.
Up next, Sweat It Out. We're compiling your song picks to use for a workout mix. Two of our producers join us next to share some of the suggestions we've received so far. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This weekend, two of Soundcheck's producers will be running 13.1 miles through the streets of Manhattan as part of the New York City Half Marathon. Fools. Earlier this week, they put out an appeal to you for help because although Katie and Joel literally listen to music all day here at work, they're apparently not capable of creating their own running playlists, and they're here in the studio with me now. Joel, haven't you been training with music?
I have been training with music. And John, you know, just with what you said there, it is not easy to create a running playlist, which is why I think the thing that we're creating is going to be a smash hit. First of all, you've got to create something really long. It's got to be at least 2 hours long, if not longer, so that your shuffle doesn't make it super repetitive.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I've been running with the same playlist for like several months now. It's 2.5 hours long, and there are some great songs on it, and then there are a few songs that I've gotten really tired of.
Believe you run to Man Size by PJ Harvey.
It sounded like a good idea at the time. And then, of course, the mysterious way that shuffle works, it keeps bringing that song up, and so I always have to like find my phone and fast forward it.
But also, the ZZ Top song and the Who song are very different kind of rhythms. You know, I mean, the tempo of them is very different. When Baba O'Reilly by The Who comes on, doesn't that slow you down?
Yeah, there was not a lot of strategy that was put into making this this running playlist. Just I've been in a real Southern boogie phase. And then also, you know, who can argue with Baba O'Reilly as something to run to?
Well, I think I just did. Now, Katie, do you run to music?
I actually don't usually run to music because of that problem. The, you know, shifting tempos of the songs can make it kind of difficult to maintain a steady pace. So I usually listen to podcasts. But when I do...
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not, like what?
Well, I'll listen to, like, Soundcheck or This American Life, or it's a lot of, you know, public radio stuff. But when I do listen to music, if I'm feeling like I need it, I will listen to Beyonce. And I just, like, literally go to the Beyonce, the four Beyonce songs I have on my iPad, and this is one of them.
Let me stay fast.
Okay, so clearly both Joel Meyer and Katie Bishop need your help, soundcheck listeners.
That's a great song, John. Come on.
Is it good for running, too?
Yes, it's great.
Bring back Man Size by PJ Harvey.
Clearly we have very different taste as well.
All right, so, I guess I just thought that, you know, for running purposes, you'd need certain kind of characteristics for the songs. What kind of things did you guys get when we put out the call to listeners?
One of the most common suggestions that we got was from listeners who just typed the word run into Google and then like figured out, sorry, like maybe into their iTunes playlist too, but they just sort of listed those. And that's totally fair game. That's totally fine. So for example, Dana from Brooklyn suggests Gnarls Barkley's Run, and Canuck Sam suggests Bryan Adams' Run to You.
Run away!
So I guess the question here is, are you running or are you jogging? Because the Gnarls Barkley, that's a pretty good tempo if you're running.
That's running away from something, apparently.
The Bryan Adams is more, you know...
Yeah, it's more like I'm wearing a bandana around my head and running through the city. I think
wearing
that's
jean shorts.
Yeah, and jean shorts. That's a prerequisite for running to Bryan Adams.
All right, listeners, it is not too late to add your suggestions for Katie and Joel's running playlist. They're doing the New York City Half Marathon this weekend. They need your help, and we'll share the playlist with all of you. You can leave a comment at soundcheck.org, which is where those suggestions came from, or you can call us and leave a voicemail at 866-939-1612. Or, Katie, there's always Twitter as well.
There's always Twitter, yeah. We actually did get a great voicemail, and it kind of has another maybe obvious choice at play, but let's hear it.
Hi, this is Josh from Ohio. I know I'm not going to be the only one to suggest this song, but definitely Run On from Moby's Play album. I mean, how could you not have that on a run playlist?
So Josh from Ohio thought he would not be the only one to suggest that Moby song. Was he the only one?
I think he was the only one.
Josh, you were the only one.
Good job, Josh.
All right. So what's been happening on Twitter? What kind of suggestions are we getting for the running playlist?
There's another trend, which is not to just go for the word run in the title or something that implies running, but also just bands that are good to run to or artists that are good to run to. So some of those that have been suggested are Propeller Heads, Green Day, Tom Jones, if you can believe it, and this band, the Chemical Brothers. Because you woke up in the morning with initiative to move, so I make it harder. Don't hold back. If you think about it, so many people do be cool and look smarter. Don't hold back. And you shouldn't even care about those noses in the air and the crooked stairs. Don't hold back. Because there's a party over here, so you might as well be here with the Chemical Brothers and Galvanize, one of the suggestions via Twitter for our running playlist on Soundcheck. Our producers Katie and Joel are doing the New York City Half Marathon this weekend. I don't know. I mean, you know, Chemical Brothers, even that song, as I'm tapping my feet, it's just not a running pace.
Feels a little slow.
It does.
Yeah, yeah.
John, for a guy who doesn't run very much, you seem to have a lot of ideas about what music you should run to.
I do a lot of running on the soccer pitch on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, wearing headphones?
No. All right, whatever.
John runs really fast. Joel.
I do run really fast.
Okay. All right.
Well, anyway,
it is called running after all.
Well, it's nice to find songs that do sort of match your running pace,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Which is you know, something that a lot of people, I think, are looking for. And a friend of mine on Facebook actually suggested this website called jog.fm. I think there are a lot of sites like this out there. But you basically put in your pace per mile, and it finds songs that match the number of beats per minute. So I put in my pace per mile, which I would rather not say here. And and it came up with Pharrell's Happy, which actually someone else on Twitter, at MarcyTV, suggested for our playlist as well.
So this would fit your regular running pace.
Yes,
which,
it would.
Which, again, we're not going to talk about on the show.
Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along.
I could see that working.
Do you respect that pace, John?
That's a good pace.
You could play soccer to that song.
I think I'm going to be dancing as I run to that song.
What about for you, Joel? What was your favorite suggestion that we got?
I'm a sucker for the absurd. And so Dana from Brooklyn, I think that's maybe the same listener we mentioned earlier. Many people posted multiple songs. Like, they had like a go-to 10 songs that they just like plopped into the comments section. Dana from Brooklyn suggests Bobby Darin's Mack the Knife.
Just to take you out of the space that you're in and put you somewhere else, apparently.
It doesn't work on so many different levels in terms of music, subject matter, all kinds of things. And so I was like, actually, this might be interesting because it will keep my mind off the fact that my left foot is about to crumble to dust.
Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body. Just oozing life.
All right, guys. Katie and Joel are both doing the New York City Half Marathon. That's 13.1 miles this weekend. Guys, good luck.
Thank you.
And Soundcheck listeners, keep those suggestions for the running playlist coming. You can leave a voicemail at 866-939-1612 or a comment at soundcheck.org or tweet us at soundcheck. And you might be able to help propel Katie and Joel to glorious victory, or at least completion, of the New York City Half Marathon this weekend.
Back in town, not to hear about Louis Miller. He disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie spins just like a shell. Could it be our boy's done something rash?
A little bit of Mack the Knife, the Bobby Darin recording. Dana from Brooklyn with a surprising suggestion for the Soundcheck running playlist. We'll share the whole playlist with you later this week on Soundcheck. Right now, what we're going to share with you is a song that we didn't get to hear when Jake Bugg joined us for a live set back in January. Jake holds the distinction of being the youngest male artist in UK chart history to land a debut album in the number one spot. And he performed a set of songs for us, most of which made it to the air, but this one didn't. It's called simply A Song About Love.
Tell me all the things you do. Tell me that it's up. Crying in the peaceful night, telling all the things you had. But out there in the future, maybe are the rainbow. There's no song without love. With your eyes, should you cry in your bed?
Love's not enough. So what do you
just wanna find you where you are. Hold you and your eyes fall down. You barely even make a sound. Crying in the peaceful night, showing all the things you had. But out there in the future, maybe all the no song without love. With your eyes, should you cry in your bed?
The Northern English singer and songwriter Jake Bugg, Big Hit on his side of the Atlantic with his album Shangri-La, and that is A Song About Love, performed live in our Soundcheck studio. Tomorrow on the show, remember, we are crowdsourcing a running playlist over on soundcheck.org, and tomorrow we will unveil it for you. Plus, we'll hear from a sports psychologist about how the right soundtrack can pump up your workout. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, Mike Katziff, with help from Amy Pearl and our intern Ryan Kailoff. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. That does it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.